This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, hello again out there to everybody at TFMR. Hey, welcome back to the latest in the series of Thursday Conversations, our weekly series where we like to bring in a mover and a shaker of the precious metals industry and just get a quick update on that person's perspective of where things are headed. Today's mover and shaker. I just think that's funny, Brett. Brett, do you consider yourself a mover and shaker now that I've used that term a couple times?
Yeah, probably not, but thanks anyway.
If you don't know that voice, that's Brent Cook. He's an old friend of the site. He's, I guess his title is economic geologist, but he's the co-editor of the Exploration Insights newsletter. Hey, look, we've been talking now for months about how 2019 is going to turn out a lot like 2010. And we're going to have the best year that we've had probably since 2010. That means the mining shares are going to do well also. And if you want to get involved in the sector, it's just vitally important that you do your own due diligence and that you have some folks out there that you can trust that do the research for you. And I got to tell you, Exploration Insights is as good as they come. If you want to be involved in this sector, try to make some fiat trading mining shares. There's no more valuable service than Exploration Insights. And so it's a pleasure to have Brent visit with us again. And Brent, thank you and welcome back.
Well, thanks, Greg. Always a pleasure.
My friend, tell everybody, before we even get started, about Exploration Insights and what the service is.
Right. Exploration Insights is a weekly letter written by Joe Mazumder, my partner, and myself. And basically, it just details what we're actually buying in the junior mining sector with our own money. We only make money based on subscribers and what we make off of our investments. We tend to focus on the smaller sector. We're both geologists, both worked around the world for major and minor companies, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of built-up experience there. And then we spend a lot of time on the road. Last year, we visited about 30 projects scattered across the world. And I think, you know, when you get to the smaller companies, it's key to look at these projects and see what it really looks like on the ground versus what a flip book looks like that you get shown at some show. So that's sort of what the letter's all about.
Yeah, and as you can imagine, I mean, the average guy or gal out there that wants to have an exposure to the mining sector, what are you going to do? Go travel and make these 30 trips yourself? No, you pay Brent and Joe to go out and do it. And again, that's what makes everything, it's just so valuable what you do. Brent, we usually break these conversations up into three segments. I want to ask you first about just where we're headed this year, and then some of these crazy, really large cap mergers and takeovers that are out there. And then lastly, I've asked folks on my site here at TFMR to submit a name or two, and we'll just kind of have a little fun. We'll play like a little lightning round where I feed you a name, and then you can just tell me if that's a company that you follow or know anything about. Let's start, though, with just the general trend. I mean, no doubt you've noticed, as most everybody else has, that we're off to a good start this year. The mining shares, if you measure it by the, I don't know, the GDX or the GDXJ or maybe the HUI, the HUI index, they all bottomed out in August and September and have been solidly in uptrends ever since. In fact, just yesterday, as we record this, it's Wednesday, just yesterday back on Tuesday, the 26th, the HUI closed at its highest level of the year for a highest daily close. Now, of course, the metals aren't back to their highest levels that we saw back on February the 20th. So it's almost like the shares are leading the metals at this point, Brent. So just in general, what do you think of this trend so far? And are you as excited about, you know, our prospects now finally going forward as I am?
Well, I don't know how excited you are, but I'm fairly positive towards the precious metals sector going forward. I think with the change in the Fed's direction last week or a couple of weeks ago, that was a major announcement, their dovishness going forward. That changed everything. What it recognized, I think, is the reality that the global growth is actually slowing much quicker than they'd anticipated. U.S. growth is not up to where they hoped it to be. And it's, I think what's going to happen is the dollar is going to start rolling over, which is, of course, positive to precious metals. So I think in that respect, looking forward, gold and gold mining shares should do well over the next few years. In terms of the big indexes like the Huey, to a large degree, I think that has to do with the major mergers that have been going on, and that's probably pushed them up a fair bit. But you look further down the spectrum, the market cap size, and the smaller companies aren't doing that well yet.
Yeah,
but I think that's coming as well.
What do you think, Brent, just in general terms? We've discussed from time to time this idea that, geez, if you're a producing gold or silver miner and you're actually still alive after these last 5 years, you're at least probably doing something right. Trimming your costs, how much you pay employees or how much work it takes to get metal or out of the ground. Would you agree with that just general notion that, you just get gold to go up $100 from here and silver to go up, $3-4 from here, you could really see profits begin to increase quickly. Would you agree with that?
Selectively, yes. I think there has been a lot of improvements made in cost structure, mechanization, that sort of thing in the larger mining companies. So that's helped out a lot. And your companies that are actually mining outside of the U.S. and Australia or places in Africa where their currencies have fallen, their cost has come down a lot. You look at the Australian miners, and they're doing quite well. And it's because the Australian dollar has gone down relative to the U.S. dollar and the
right.
gold price. So that's been a real positive. I also am concerned, and this has happened in the past, is that with the gold price being steady, the companies tend to go after the better ore, high-grade the stuff, and put off maintenance and development until the gold price rises. So we may see, say, a $100 rise in the gold price, but I don't think across the board we can assume that there's going to be a $100 increase in profit margins in a lot of these companies, because as soon as they get the money, they've got to go and push back, strip the ore that they've been, or strip above the ore they've been holding back on, or develop this, or buy new trucks, that sort of thing. So I think you want to look carefully at the company itself to know if a $100 increase in the gold price converts to a $100 increase in their profit margin.
Yeah, I think right there, unwittingly, perhaps, you just made another reason, another explanation as to why having some expertise in your corner helps. We can't just blanket statement, the metals are going higher, so all the shares are going higher. Having exploration insights on your side to help you determine which companies are maybe poised to go up certainly faster than the others is beneficial. Brent, what do you make of, we had this odd period of maybe 90 days, where all of a sudden Gold Corp and Barrick and what was it? forgetting the name. Not Gold Corp. Wait, who did Barrick buy? Randgold. Geez, see, it's already just out of my mind.
I know.
That must just be, that's kind of a senior moment, I think. I can only focus on what's in front of me. Anyway, so they buy Randgold. All right, so then that gets taken care of. Then all of a sudden there's this potential hostile takeover out there. What are these majors just trying to accomplish, you think? I always thought it was at least, any publicity is good publicity. Anytime the mining sector shows up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, that's probably generally a good thing. But again, what do you make of what was going on there?
Well, I think you just nailed the thing on the head, is that the whole mining industry is pretty much irrelevant to the bigger funds and such in New York and London.
Yeah.
And these mergers make these companies much, much bigger market capitalization-wise, liquidity-wise, and that is really, I think, what they're going after, is getting big enough to attract the large institutional investors, the generalists. I think that's really where they're trying to get. There are some synergies for sure, but really, they're just trying to get to be as big enough that they matter. I mean, you think about, I forget the exact details, but when Apple had a, you know, had some bad news, its market capitalization dropped more than the combined value of all the gold mining stocks.
Yeah.
So it's still pretty irrelevant. So I think that's what's really the driving force behind this. And I think it's really interesting to see how that plays out. In fact, my partner Joe Mazumdar, he put out in our letter from about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, a really good synopsis of how this is playing out, why they're doing it. And in fact, for your listeners, if you're interested in seeing that that report, it's going to be a sample of our newsletter. You can just contact us at the at our website, explorationinsights.com, and we'll send that to you.
And you'll find everybody right here, you've probably already seen that, the link directly to Exploration Insights right here on this webpage. So I encourage you to go there and check it out. Yeah, it makes for an interesting year. And again, you've been doing this for a long time. I mean, just in general, you know, for folks that are interested in the sector for the first time or coming back to the sector or seeing just a fiat-making opportunity, you know, if we are in now a renewed bull market, and it certainly appears we are, I mean, is there just a couple of, you know, words of advice or shared expertise that you can give everyone?
From our perspective, you know, okay, these big mergers are great. They bring a lot of attention and such, but bottom line issue for the global gold industry is that it's producing on the average in the order of 90 million ounces a year. Since this is a depleting business, if they don't, you know, more or less find 90 million ounces a year, their reserves are going down, their business is going down.
Yeah.
So regardless of these big mergers going on, what they really need are new deposits. And they can't fill that hole themselves. So our focus is on the smaller end of the sector, the guys and gals that are out there on the ground making these very early stage discoveries, because that's where the real money, in my view, is going to be made, is if you can get in early on an exploration discovery, follow it in detail, recognizing that more than likely something's going to go wrong. There'll be a fatal flaw. And if you can identify that fatal flaw, on average, we're able to get out ahead of the crowd, make some money off it. But if we can't find that fatal flaw, take that right through to a discovery and acquisition, which, you know, you're looking at maybe 10 times plus your money on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that to me is the really important aspect of what's going on out there. And it's a very complicated business. It's not like just reading a financial spreadsheet and saying, okay, they're making money, or their EBITDA, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to take into account the geology, the mining conditions, the strip ratio, the metallurgy, the socioeconomic environment right there. All of those issues play into it. So it's not a straightforward business, if you will. So I think it does help to have someone, either your brother or a stockbroker or whatever, someone who knows the business, giving a bit of guidance.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it. Not just a blanket deal. Well, all right, my friend. Let's go into phase three here. I when I wrote you and asked you to come on, I said, let's do like a lightning round, where I'll just hit you with a name. You're always very straightforward and honest about, you know, what you think. And that's one of the best things about you, and one of the best things about Exploration Insights. There's not any BS. So I had put out notice to my subscribers and said, look, send me some names. And so I got a whole bunch of them. And if I were to go through all of them, we'd be here for a couple of hours. And so we're not going to do that. I just tried to grab, I don't know, a couple, maybe a dozen or more, just of the ones that were repeated or, out, you know, asked more than once. And so if you're ready, I'll just hit you. And then you can just give me, say, 30 seconds or so of what you think, or just say, hey, I don't know anything about that one. You ready?
All right. So this is more or less how many people can I piss off in 30 seconds?
Exactly. You figured it out, Brett. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to my world. That's the kind of stuff I do on a daily basis. All right. Let's see. All right. Here's the first one. We'll start with a couple of the bigger ones that came in. And this is an obvious one because I think a lot of folks at TFMR hold this one. What do you think of Kirkland Lake?
Kirkland Lake has done a fantastic job at their deposit in Australia. The grade keeps getting better. They seem to figure out what's controlling that high-grade chute that they're finding. And now they postulated, they got a thesis that they know what's causing it, and they may be onto another similar chute further to the west, I believe it is. So it's done great. It's really, you know, it's in principle, it's probably overvalued. But my experience is overvalued tends to reflect a quality deposit, and it stays overvalued.
Yeah.
So okay. I would definitely not sell this one.
Gotcha. All right. How about Newmont?
That's just a bet. You know, we don't cover the big companies, per
right.
se.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a bet on the gold price. I don't think their acquisition of Goldcorp is a very smart idea, personally. I think I don't understand the basis behind that. But again, it's big name. It'll move with the gold price.
All right. All right, well, here comes some that are maybe more in your wheelhouse. First company that was submitted more than once is called Great Bear. You know anything about that one?
I do. They've got a project in the Red Lake area of Ontario. They pulled some very nice drill holes in a certain area that's a bend in the stratigraphy, if you will. And they seem to be hanging together in that one zone. The key to this thing is if they can actually tie it together. You want to see continuity between drill holes, and if they can continue finding it along the limbs of this thing, it gets some size to it. So they've had their initial excitement. The stock has really run up. It's backed off some, and now it gets hard. Now the hard
yeah.
part comes in actually proving continuity.
Yeah.
But they've certainly done a great job.
So far. All right. How about a company called Klondike Gold?
Klondike Gold, up in the Yukon. A smart guy running it. He's been trying, and he has successfully put together a model as to what the gold mineralization is controlled by. There's a high-grade bit to it, but there's also some low-grade to it. In my view, the grade just doesn't cut it, given the location.
All right.
At least not yet.
All right. How about Wesdome? That's one that's moved up pretty well.
They've done quite well. They found a new zone in Ontario in their active mine. I like what they're doing. I like what they've got. And to me, this looks like a potential acquisition for a mid-tier looking to move into Canada, maybe an Australian company.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one I've never heard of. It's called Aben, A-B-E-N, Aben Resources.
You know, I've looked at that. I don't feel confident making an opinion.
Okay.
They've got a project up in the Golden Triangle of British Columbia, popular area, lots of alteration and anomalies up there, but I can't speak specifically to them.
All right. Have you ever heard of a company called Pure Gold Mining?
Yeah, they picked up an old project and have managed to put together some nice, you know, mineralization, new mineralization around the thing. It hasn't performed as well as I would have expected, and that may be due to the fact that the mineralization is rather narrow. But again, it's not one that we've spent much time on, so I have to sort of pass on that. But if I was looking at it, I would try and focus on the width of the veins and the continuity and what the CapEx is going to be to get in there, which is going to be pretty low because there's already a mine there.
Okay. All right, here's one. I've owned this one before, though I don't own it at present. I think I bought it because they actually like have their own silver store, and so I've actually bought some Great Panther little bullion bars before. You know much about Great Panther, again, Great Panther Silver, Great Panther Miner, whatever it's called?
Yeah, I've been to their projects in Mexico years ago. They're what I would call leverage to the silver price. Their projects aren't, the deposits aren't that good. But if the silver runs, this and Endeavor Silver and First Majestic seem to be the companies that the investors go into. So as a play on the silver price, it's probably a good bet, but I wouldn't buy it because it's a great company.
Gotcha. And Endeavor Silver was next on the list. That's one I've owned for a long time. I remember several years ago, that's like they didn't have any debt, and I thought, well, this is a pretty good deal. I don't even know if they have debt now. What do you have any specific thoughts on Endeavor?
Again, I've been to a lot of their projects. I think they're in better shape and have better deposits than compared to Great Bear, for instance, or not Great Bear, but Great Panther. Mm-hmm. But again, it's another bet on the silver price.
Gotcha. All right, I've just got a handful left. Here's a fun one because this has been an interesting story to follow for the last couple of months. A company called Royal Nickel. Aren't they the ones they found that massive, like the largest gold nugget of all time or something like that? And they're not really sure what they have down there yet. But anyway, do you know much about Royal Nickel?
A fair bit. That's out in Western Australia. It's in a nickel camp, famous nickel camp, and that's what they're focused. And then they bumped into this pod, if you will, of gold mineralization. And they're going to find more of these, but they're erratic, they're hard to predict, and they're generally pretty small. So for specimens, it's fantastic. I mean, these are some of the most beautiful rocks with gold in I've seen. I saw it down at Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. But I don't think there's a lot of size potential to this, and it's not one that Joe and I looked at it, thought about it, and we didn't buy it.
All right. Serengeti Resources. How about that one?
Yeah, they've got a copper discovery in British Columbia. They've got a Japanese partner in there. I don't recall exactly which one it is right now, but they've been putting out some flash drill holes lately, but really those are infill holes into a breccia pipe that is nice grade, but small, and the surrounding area ground is rather low grade. It's not one that Joe and I felt was good enough to be acquired. Our game plan is always to try and find a deposit that's good enough that a major will buy it and the junior doesn't have to develop it.
Right. Gotcha. How do you think Rob McEwen's doing these days with his company?
Yeah, it's not so good.
Yeah.
Not so good. He's just having to raise more money, working capital, to keep going ahead. It hasn't been a lot of fun for him, I don't think.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right, two more. How about a company called Skeena?
Skeena, another one up in the Golden Triangle, British Columbia. I was up there last year on project. The old Eskay Creek mine, which is world famous because of the high grade, they've got what's left of that. They're putting together a resource. The issues there are metallurgy, meaning that some of the ore, the high-grade ore, is difficult to process and sell. But they've picked up more ore in a better rock type, and I think they'll be able to pull together a plan whereby that higher grade in the better rock makes a decent deposit. And this is one that I think if they can show the metallurgy works, that somebody will buy them. So this is one I'm reasonably positive on.
All right. And lastly, how about a company called Almadex?
Almadex. That's Almadex. Actually one that we do own. Great exploration team. The president there, Morgan Poliquin, knows Mexico real well, knows exploration real well, has a number of projects. He has some royalties in there. And it's one that we own. I think it's long-term. It's a good bet on a smart explorer. But first off, he's dealing mostly with Almaden, which is a deposit he discovered in that company. And unfortunately, I think his focus is too much right now is on trying to sell or develop the Ixtaca deposit in Almaden, and he's kind of let Almadex slide a little bit. But it's one we own, and I think it's long-term a good bet.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, right there, the benefit of the lightning round is, besides hearing all that, I mean, it just shows you, I mean, the depth of what Brent knows and the depth of the research that he and Joe do. So, again, I encourage you to check out Exploration Insights. Brent, again, explain to everybody, it's the weekly newsletter?
Yeah, weekly newsletter comes out Sunday afternoon usually. Again, it's about what Joe and I are doing with our own money, plus our observations on the sector and opinions. We call it as we see it. And again, if your listeners are interested, the report or the letter that we did, Joe did actually, on the mergers and acquisitions, if you're interested, send us an email and we'll get that out to you so you can kind of see what we do within probably the one in a week.
Fantastic.
That's exploration-insights.com.
Fantastic. We'll put that link right on this page. My friend, it is such a pleasure to get a chance to visit with you. I really, really appreciate you carving out some time to help us out here at TFMR. I think it's going to be a fun year, and I look forward to maybe once we get later in the year, getting back together and seeing where we are.
Yeah, let's see how things go after we've been so positive here.
Yeah, exactly. That ought to be the kiss of death, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Well, thank you very much, Brent. I sure appreciate it. And from all of us, again, here at TFMR, thanks for listening. We'll have another one of these for you next week.